Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for another Lord's Day, for the opportunity to gather and give you worship and praise, for the opportunity to come into your presence and to feel your healing touch. Lord, we come today beaten and bruised and broken by life, but knowing that we're coming into the presence of a great physician. So we pray now for your healing touch, for your filling, for your overflowing, that we might leave this place to share with a lost and dying world that we do serve a risen Savior. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let us stand and sing number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
And all guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mountain poured, there with the blood of the Lamb was sealed. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin in his fair light the sea waves roll, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold.
Affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join with us now as we unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
May be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, we certainly want to remember all of the people of Parkland, Florida, and the tragedy they've gone through there again. We won't get into debates and discussion on this, but folks, there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of needs that need to be addressed. We need to remember them in our prayers. Any other joys and concerns you'd like to share? God's answered all of our requests. Ain't that great? There's a reason to praise there, folks. Yes, thank you. Jerry Meadows had a slight stroke. He'll be going home today, but do remember him in your prayers. Also, a week ago Friday, I had cataract surgery in my left eye, and this Friday I'll have cataract surgery in the other eye. So I would appreciate your prayers. If there are no other requests, as the music plays, allow God to speak to your heart. Our Heavenly Father, the song says, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. That's exactly what we need this morning. We need a fresh touch. We need the wind of your Holy Spirit to move not only through our church, but through us individually. Help us, Lord, that during this season of Lent, we might seek to draw closer to you, that we might seek to know more of your love and your grace and your will and your plan and your purpose for our lives. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd be with all of those who are going through times of affliction. We pray that you would be with those who are recuperating, those facing procedures and surgeries. Be with those going through therapy. Be with all of those, Lord, who are going through times of grieving. Grieving for loss of loved ones. Perhaps even loss of pets. Grieving for loss of youth and loss of health. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us that we're not nearing the end of life. We're nearing the beginning of the fulfillment of the eternal life that you've promised to each one of us. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to make transitions even when we're transitioning to heaven. So we pray for your grace and strength to be upon us. We pray that you would be with your church. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our nation. Be with our leaders, our president, our senators, our representatives, and all the local and state and world leaders, Lord. Oh, how they need your touch and your direction. Thank you, Lord. Be with our troops today. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families. Draw us closer to you, Lord. We'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We are so blessed. We pray now that you'd bless these are our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing together, let me touch him.
Let me touch him as he passes by.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, till the work on earth is done.
Shall we stand for the reading of the gospel?
This morning's scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of Mark, verses 21 through 34. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Clayton, for sharing that song with us. So very special. Back in 2000, I had the opportunity to take a group to Israel and Jordan. The experience of a lifetime. I determined then that as soon as possible, I was going to go back again. And shortly after we got back from that trip, things started falling apart over there and haven't made it back yet. But one of the places that I was able to be at was at Capernaum. There is still the remains of the Jewish synagogue there. You know, so often here we think of a church plant being on 5 acres of ground, and half a block down the road there's a house and another house. But over there, the synagogue was there, and probably 15 or 20 yards out in front of the synagogue were all of these little houses. Anyway, Jesus had been in Capernaum there. He was there shortly before I was, on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then he sailed southeast to the Gentile section of Galilee and healed a demoniac. You remember that story? That's a whole different sermon, but the people there begged for him to leave. He was affecting their income. So he did. He returned to Capernaum. He and his disciples were going from town to town. He preached and he healed. Large crowds would come. They wanted to see and hear Jesus. The New English Bible tells us he could hardly breathe for the crowds. The people were pushing and shoving, trying to get close to him. Now there in verse 25, we heard that there was a woman in the crowd who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Think with me for a few moments about this first century woman. Religious laws were very strict about bleeding. Laws made the woman and anything or anyone she touched unclean. The result was embarrassment, isolation, and religious stigma. Over in Leviticus chapter 15, beginning at verse 25, it says, If she bleeds, the woman will be ceremonially unclean as long as the bleeding continues. Anything she touches during that time will be defiled. You will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening. Now remember, in the biblical times, they didn't have the medical knowledge that we have today. When we lose blood, when we lose more blood than what our bodies can create, we become anemic. This was the state this woman was in. It had been going on for 12 years. She was exhausted. Verse 26, a lot of you can probably relate to this. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and spent everything she had to pay them. But she'd gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. The Jewish Talmud is the basic for Jewish law. In standard print, it would be over 6,200 pages long. It contains teachings and opinions of thousands of rabbis on a variety of subjects, including law, Jewish ethics, philosophy, customs, history, lore, and many other topics. The Talmud suggests 11 specific ways or cures for bleeding. One of those, I hadn't thought of this one before, one of those healings suggested in the Talmud is that the person who has the issue with bleeding would sit at a crossroads with a cup full of wine and wait for somebody to come up behind them and scare them. Let me see, you are anesthetized, so you're kind of mellowed out, and then somebody comes up behind you and startles you, and you have a coronary thrombosis, and you stop bleeding. I guess that's how that works. The woman had tried every cure that she had heard about and gone to all of the doctors who at that time in history were scorned and, at least in her case, completely ineffective. Rabbi Judah was giving instructions on how fathers ought to teach a trade to their sons. Here's what he said. Donkey drivers are most of them wicked. Camel drivers are most of them proper folk. Sailors are mostly saintly. Okay. And then he goes on and says, but even the best of physicians is destined for hell. Okay. Verses 27 and 28, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. It was an incredible act of courage for anybody, especially for a woman in that day and age. Verse 29 says, immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she had been healed. Now, two miracles occurred here. First of all, the bleeding stopped. And secondly, her strength returned immediately. Verse 30, Jesus realized at once the healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? You know, imagine going to Neyland Stadium for the Florida game. And you're making your way through the crowd there and say, who touched me? Well, take your pick. There are about 40 people around you. Probably every one of them did. Well, Jesus did this and the people couldn't really understand. And it says in verses 31 through 34, it says, his disciples said to him, all this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept looking around to see who had done it. When we touch people at their point of need, us as individuals and us as a church, there is a cost. There is a drain of spiritual power. Often I've shared with Catherine that very often I've noticed on Sundays, standing up here for an hour and a half preaching is like working an 8-hour shift in a factory. I feel drained when I'm done. It says verse 33, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. Now, you may have been wondering about the sermon title this morning. Lent, an opportunity to meet Jesus like his daughter did. Now, you probably didn't know that Jesus had a daughter. Well, in the words of Jesus, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, you've been healed." The other side is that every single woman that walks the face of this earth has the invitation to become a daughter of Jesus Christ. Every man has an opportunity to become a son of Jesus Christ. The woman was a social outcast. She was considered unclean as one who was under the judgment of God and not allowed to set foot in the synagogue. In this passage, we see the woman loved into life by Jesus. Instead of being angry, he looked at the woman with love and compassion. He said, "Daughter," and this is the only place in the scriptures where Jesus uses this term, okay? "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in shalom." Go in peace. Shalom here refers to a wholeness of body and soul. It implies a life in harmony with the fullness of God's blessing. Here was a woman who had for years been isolated from family, from friends, from the religious community. And Jesus says, now you can go and you can go in shalom. When you go back to your house, you can go in peace. When you eat with your family, you can eat in peace or you can eat in shalom. When you talk, you can talk in peace. When you hug, that's something she hadn't done for over a decade. When you hug in shalom. Go in shalom. She was bestowing on her in that moment all of God's richest blessings. Over in Isaiah 55, it says, "The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I will send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Jesus said, go in peace. You're clean. You're under God's blessing. Go in joy. Go in shalom. Two 2,000 years later, where can we find this shalom? Isaiah 9:6 says, "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." This woman had sought the advice of rabbis and doctors, but to no avail. But Jesus had the words and the power that she needed. Perhaps you and I need to listen to the Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah 9:6 goes on and says, "Mighty God." Only God's power would work that miracle for that woman that day. "Everlasting Father," Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter." To realize that Jesus Christ, the Son, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit want to minister to you and me as a compassionate dad. I realize for a lot of people, a lot of times and places, dad isn't a good word. They don't have a good memory, if any memory at all, of an earthly father that represented anything to do with love and compassion and grace and the kingdom of God. But here's a chance for you and me to accept this relationship and this word with no hesitation whatsoever. And his name shall also be called Prince of Peace. Come, hear him say, son, daughter, go in shalom, go in peace. Jesus, the great physician, assures each one of us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Let's look at three things that'll happen when we meet the great physician, when we reach out and touch him, when we allow him to touch us. We find that all of a sudden, whatever's been going on in our lives is replaced by the unconditional love of God. And this love of God, when we are touched with it, first of all, it has the power to heal. Scientific research is now finally confirming what many of us have known all along. And that is that love plays a big part in the healing of a hurting body. Love has the power to heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Greed and selfishness bring pain and suffering, but love brings healing in life. We see it here in Mark 5. As this woman who had suffered so long, so much, touched Jesus, and his healing power in turn touched her. Love is the power to heal. Secondly, love has the power to reconcile. This is why Jesus insisted on knowing who it was that touched the hem of his garment. This woman was considered ceremonially unclean. She wasn't permitted to set a single foot inside the synagogue. She was a social outcast. Jesus wanted the whole crowd to know that now she was well, she was clean, she was healed. She had been restored to normal society. He reconciled her with her family and with the community. Pardon me. John Claypool wrote in his book, The Preaching Event, about identical twin brothers. They grew up together in a small frontier town. Everything they did, they worked together on it. Because of this closeness they had with each other, neither one of them ever got to the point where they're ready to get married. When their father died, the two of them took over the store that he had ran, and they ran it together with a joyful collaboration. One day, a man came into the store and he made a small purchase. He paid for it with a dollar bill. The brother took the dollar bill and laid it on the cash register while he escorted the man to the door and talking to them as they went out. He came back in and he went to put the dollar bill in the cash register and it was gone. He said to his twin brother, did you take the dollar bill I left here? He said, no, I didn't. Well, surely you must have taken it because there's nobody else in the store. No, I'm telling you, I didn't take the dollar bill. From that point on, mistrust and suspicion grew between the two brothers until finally it got to the point where they built a partition right down the middle of the store, made it into two separate stores. Sounds like some churches I've heard about. I mean, the dollar bill, hey, that's reason enough to split a church, or a store, okay? For 20 years, they didn't even speak to each other. One day, a stranger came into one of the stores, walked up to the brother, and he said, "Pardon me, sir," he says, "how long have you been in business here?" And he said, "Oh, for about 40 years. Why do you ask?" Man said, "Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that." He said, "You see, over 20 years ago, I was just passing through town. I was out of work. I was homeless. I didn't have any money. Hadn't eaten in days. When I looked in the store window, I saw a dollar bill on the cash register. So I slipped in and took it and slipped back out again. Recently, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And he said, "As I was at that altar in that little church praying, all of a sudden, I saw that dollar bill on that cash register in that store from years ago. And I knew that I had to make it right. I want to pay you back with interest. And I want to beg for your forgiveness for what I did." When he finished speaking, the storekeeper had tears running down his cheeks. And he said, "Would you please come next door with me and tell that same incident to my brother?" With the second telling, the two brothers were reconciled with hugs and tears and apologies. 20 years of hurt and broken relationship based on mistrust and misunderstanding were healed. Reconciliation came because of a stranger's love for Christ. Christ is the reconciler, and according to Paul, you and I are called to be agents of reconciliation. We do that when we live in the spirit of love. Love has the power to heal, love has the power to reconcile, and then thirdly, love has the power to redeem. There's a story about Zacchaeus. Appropriate we talk about him as we approach April 15th, because he was a tax collector. But in his later years, the story tells that every morning he would get up early, leave the house. His wife got to wondering about that, as some wives sometimes do. So one morning she got up and she followed him. At the town well, he filled a bucket, and then he walked over to the town square where there was a sycamore tree. He set the bucket down and he cleared away the branches and the litter and the debris from around the tree. Then he poured the water around the tree, and he stood there with his hand against the tree. That really got his wife to wondering. She came out of hiding and asked what he was doing, and he looked at her with a smile, and he said, "This is where I met Jesus." It's hard to imagine, but I can believe that for the rest of her life, that woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment would bring people back to that sacred spot and tell them, "This is where I found Jesus." How about you this morning? Do you have a spot like that? Sometimes it could be a number of spots where we have met with God. The good news of our Christian faith, in addition to salvation through Jesus Christ, is that God's love in us has the power to heal, to reconcile, and to redeem. You've heard this before, probably a number of times, but this might be a good time to hear it again. A little while ago, we sang that song that said, "Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus." In just a couple of minutes, we're going to sing, "He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul." We need to realize what can happen when we get in touch with God. Someone wrote, "It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time on that old violin, but he held it up with a smile. 'What am I bid, good folks?' he cried. 'Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, now two? Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 going once, going twice, and gone, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man stepped forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the caroling angels sing. The music stopped, and the auctioneer, in a voice that was now quiet and low, said, 'Now what am I bid for the violin?' As he held it up with a bow, 1,000 dollars, 1,000, 2,000, who'll make it three? 3,000 once, going and gone,' cried he. The crowd cheered, but some of them cried, saying, 'Wait, we don't understand what change is worth.' Quick came the reply, 'Twas the touch of the master's hand. And many a person with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and they travel on. They're going once, they're going twice, they're going and they're almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the change that is wrought, the worth of a soul touched by the master's hand." Heavenly Father, we need your touch. We as individuals, we as Americans, we as children of God building God's kingdom, we need a new and fresh touch. May we realize that you are reaching down to us, just waiting for us to reach up to you. Many of us, like that woman that day, have suffered much. We pray now for your touch. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 367, "He Touched Me."
Jesus touched me, and now I am known.
You know, being human, a lot of times there doesn't take a whole lot to distract us. What I'd like for us to do now is I want us to sing that chorus one more time. You know the words to it. I want you to just close your eyes and raise your hand up to where Jesus is reaching down to you, with the idea that you want him to touch you. Nobody else is looking at you. They're not going to know. They're not going to know if you're smiling or if tears are flowing down your cheeks or if you're getting blessed. None of their concern anyway. Let's sing that chorus again. Eyes closed, reaching up.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, that joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me.
Now may you leave this place having touched and been touched by the power and love and grace of God in your hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Someday.